This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And welcome back. It is always great to welcome a friend, Matt Hayes, to the program, a talk show host, longtime newspaper columnist. And, Matt, it's great to have you on. When I first saw the headline on your article, I thought it was some young whippersnapper trying to get Twitter hits. Kirby Smart is the best coach in the SEC. I didn't expect it to be one of my contemporaries. Usually guys your age and mine have more sense. I'm just kidding, of course. Matt, great to have you on.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate you having me. It's interesting, Paul. I'm getting a lot of feedback from this. I look at this, honestly, Paul, this is more of an SEC thing. The SEC has become such a year-by-year thing as far as coaches and their security, their job security, except for the elite two right now even. Everybody else is literally, it's year-by-year where they look. I mean, Florida just ran off a guy that went to three straight New Year's Six bowls. I mean, LSU fired a coach who, in two years after he won the national championship. Auburn fired a coach who beat Nick Saban more than any other coach in the history of the league. I mean, this you are not safe in this league, man. So when I do these things, I think along the lines of the now. And I know what Nick Saban is. And I pointed it out clearly in the column where I said, Kirby is locked in at number one until he's knocked off the mountaintop. And then I said, which brings us to Nick Saban, who, oh, by the way, is the mountain. He is the mountain. He's the standard. But to me, it's in the way I do this, it's I look at right now. I understand what Nick has done. There's no greater coach in college football than Nick Saban. We all know that. I'm looking at it right now, in the moment, right now.
So, I mean, I appreciate that, and I'm sure many in Alabama don't either, or maybe they do. So when you're trying to figure this thing out, though.
I would guess they don't, Paul. That's
yeah, Matt, and I mean, I know if you're trying to make a project. I mean, I've done these lists, and they're very subjective, and sometimes I respect what you said because too often, and we had a guy on a few weeks ago, and he gave me, well, they beat somebody last year. I mean, I want what you look at, and obviously the win over Alabama is important, but it seems to me in reading your piece and knowing you, there's more to it than just beating Alabama, and if so, what is it?
Yeah, but I think it's a number of things. Look, I don't think we can ignore, Paul, the fact that the defense, Nick Saban's beloved defense, hasn't been the same for 4 or 5 years. And all you got to do is look at that Georgia defense last year with all those five-star recruits in there. Those are the guys that Kirby used to recruit to Tuscaloosa. Those are the guys that Kirby used to, along with Nick, develop into those elite players of the Alabama defense. Now the Alabama program is centered on offense. And quite frankly, Paul, honestly, if Jameson Williams and John Metchie are healthy last year, they probably beat Georgia in the national championship game. But they weren't. So I think what Kirby is doing, Kirby is using the exact formula, process, whatever you want to call it, that Nick used early on as coach at Alabama, that he developed that championship style with. You know, they're playing great defense, they run the ball, and they got a caretaker quarterback. And it worked last year. For whatever, you can criticize Kirby all you want, and believe me, I criticized him big time for Stetson Bennett playing. I thought JT Daniels should have been playing all along, but Kirby and Stetson Bennett got the last laugh. They won the national championship. And I think it's a guy that clearly is an elite recruiter. One of the top two or three recruiters in all of college football. He clearly can develop talent on both sides of the ball. He's got a great staff around him. And now they're winning. I mean, they were a blown 2nd-26 coverage in the secondary from winning that national title too, Paul. Let's not forget that.
With Matt Hayes, Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, you have Stoops at 3, which is interesting. But I'm more interested in number 4, and that's Jimbo Fisher. And number 4 normally wouldn't be that low, but when you consider all the hullabaloo and all the money and everything else, and I realize you've covered him at Florida State and wrote an opus on him after he left, why number four?
Well, I think it's, again, we're still sticking in the now. I mean, there's a lot of momentum there right now. And believe me, I'm the first guy to say, if you put Jimbo's record against Kevin Sumlin's record at Texas A&M at this point in time, they're almost identical. It's scary. One guy was run out, and one guy's, getting paid $10 million a year to coach. But I think there's a lot of momentum there. Clearly there is from the way Jimbo is recruiting. It's not just his last, once-in-a-lifetime class that he landed. It's, the two top five classes prior to that. But Jimbo, I think, is a quarterback away from figuring it out in this league, Paul. And is it Max Johnson? I don't know if him, or if it's Haynes King, or if it's Wiegman, or whoever it is. Once he gets that position figured out, Paul, they're going to win, and they're going to win big. So I think he's proved it. He proved it at Florida State that the program he put together there, the 2013 team where every one of those starters played in the NFL, I mean, that's a guy that can recruit and develop players.
You have a number of other interesting things, but I'm going to cherry pick here because that's what we do. Number 10, Josh Heupel. Why so low?
I really like Josh. I love what he did at UCF. I don't think he got enough credit for that. He was in a tough situation. He had injury problems at the most important position on the field. Everywhere he's been, the offense has been fantastic. Even when he was the OC at Missouri, what Drew Locke did there was remarkable. And I think what he's done at Tennessee in 1 year, I mean, he took over for the PE coach, Paul, and he literally changed everything. They couldn't even move the ball. And now they're one of the most dangerous offenses in all of college football. And you and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I truly believe they're going to get somebody this year. They're going to get a big, big win this year. And is it Alabama? Is it Georgia? Maybe. I would think if the way you're looking at Tennessee, they would do backflips for a win over Florida right now. But I think it's possible they could get Alabama or Georgia too.
Napier 11, it seems like, having talked to you, that's more about just the fact that he hasn't coached yet. You have Harsin 12. Am I assuming that you feel like one of those coaches is going up and another one is maybe going out between Napier and Harsin?
Yeah. Yeah, Paul, believe me, I've been taking some grief here in the state of Florida about Napier at 11. But I don't, look, I think potentially he could be a great hire. But if you don't think it's a gamble right now, you're out of your mind. Of course it's a gamble. He's done good things at a group of five school. And if not the worst FBS conference, one of the two or three worst FBS conferences, it's a big difference when you're taking that big of a step up, not only in the competition on the field, but recruiting. I like what he's done. I like how he's organized things at Florida. I like how he's changed the way they do things there. But at the end of the day, it's going to be what kind of a quarterback coach is he and what kind of a play caller is he? And that's what he is. He said from day one, I'm calling the plays. I'm coaching the quarterbacks. So it's going to be very interesting to see how he works with Anthony Richardson, and if he gets that talent out of Anthony Richardson and other quarterbacks in that roster. And as far as Harsin, I mean, Paul, they tried to fire him, earlier this year, couldn't do it. I would think if Brian Harsin doesn't win eight or nine games, they're going to fire him because let's face it, Urban Meyer's out there. He's out there, and Auburn might be one of two programs in all of college football that could hire Meyer because they just don't care what anyone thinks. It's pretty much Auburn and Texas. They don't care what anyone thinks. And I would think that Auburn would go after him if they did fire Brian Harsin.
Matt, I've known you too long to jump up and down and scream fire. But are you serious? Urban Meyer at Auburn?
Paul, I mean, if you think Auburn won't take a shot at him, let's just say Auburn struggles again and they go 5-7. You know Auburn as well or better than anyone, Paul. They go 5-7. They fall not only further behind Nick and the Goliath that is Alabama football, but they're behind Texas A&M. They're behind LSU. Paul, they're behind Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Arkansas. They're at the bottom. At the bottom. There's no other place to go. I mean, they hired Bruce Pearl, who got the two schools prior to him coming there on probation, then got Auburn on probation. So, of course they'll hire Urban Meyer. I don't know why that's even a question right now. Of course they will take a shot at him.
I don't know. I mean, and I'm talking to a guy that covered him in Jacksonville.
Paul, search your soul. You know I'm right. You know I know you want to say it right now, but you just don't want to say it. Of course I'm right.
It's just hard for me to yeah, and everything you've said. I've covered Auburn for 40 years. You don't need to give me
Paul,
the tutorial.
They'll be behind Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Arkansas. They'll be behind everyone, Paul. Everyone. You don't think they're going to panic at that point? You know those guys there. You know those big cat boosters there.
I can see Urban Meyer and Jimmy Rain in those Yellowwood commercials, can't you?
Yes, of course. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Sometimes, Matt, you just go into an interview, as you do this every day, and you know what the headline's going to be. Matt Hayes says Kirby's – I didn't think that one of the publications that you write for, Saturday Down South, was going to come here and then and take the last question and make the most out of it. But you have dropped a bombshell on us. I appreciate it, as always. Matt, thank you so much.
All right, Paul, my pleasure.
Wow, Matt Hayes, you heard him right here. I don't need to tell you what he said. Nope. Urban Meyer to Auburn. Just when you think you've seen that guy for the last time, he shows up at Auburn. Can you imagine Nick Saban going, I got to walk across the field? And I mean, it's bad enough I got Jimbo over here. Now I've got to deal with Urban again?
Oh
my goodness. It has to end one of these days. Let's take a break. We'll figure that one out in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Let's check out Handsome Joe. Hello, Joe.
Roll Tide, roll Paul Feinbaum. And I got to be honest. Hey, baseball is different than football. I'm for every one of these SEC teams, but I'm even for Auburn. I mean, I'm for all these SEC teams in this College World Series.
Wonderful.
You know, my hat's off to Texas A&M. You know, since Jimbo Fisher ain't their head coach in baseball, you know, I'm for their baseball team.
You don't like Jimbo though, do you?
No, Paul. I don't. I'd like to put him face first in a cow pile. I mean, just a fresh laid cow. You know, hold him down there and make him blow bubbles, and say Nick Saban's my daddy. But Paul, I've heard so much stuff here today, and that last guest you had on Matt Hayes. I mean, Paul, this doodle brain here. I mean. And speaking of cows, he probably sticks his nose 1 inch from the cow's butts and smells their farts. I mean, what's wrong with this? And I could tell when you got done with the interview, he laughed too. And I don't even think he meant what he said. I don't even think he believes what he said. There's no way he does. I mean, he can't, Paul. And this is Jeff in Columbus, Paul. Red Dog and Jeff in Columbus. Those two knuckleheads right there is the two I want to talk about right now. And I tell you what, Red Dog, I mean, he needs to go back, you know, I mean, he needs to go bark up his own, you know, bark up his own butt, Paul, because he ain't nothing but trash. I mean, he's trash. And Jeff in Columbus. Now, Paul, this guy right here, I mean, we're talking about, he's talking about the show ain't good. It only sucks when he calls. I mean, he sounds like he's a puppet for Jim. I mean, he's like a puppet from Jim from Tuscaloosa. Calls in, well, because y'all don't like me, this show ain't good no more. This show's better than it's ever been. It's just that you got a couple of dipsticks that don't, you know, they don't know how to light a candle, Paul. I mean, that's all it is. They don't even know how to light a candle. But, you know, Paul, I've seen y'all been talking about a lot of places to eat. And I can't remember all the places in Tuscaloosa that I went. And I got to say Tuscaloosa, because it ain't like I go to all these different college towns. So I ain't experienced a lot of it. I've been to Baton Rouge, and I've ate out. I've been to Florida, you know, and I've been to Chattanooga. I mean, I've been to Knoxville. But I can't remember the name of them restaurants. I can't even remember the name of the restaurants I went to in Tuscaloosa, because I was pretty much drunk at every one of them, Paul. So, you know, it's hard to remember all those. I remember Piggly Wiggly because I don't drink and no more, and not much less, but I don't drink no more.
You don't drink. You don't drink at all, Joe.
No, he said he doesn't drink less, but he doesn't drink.
Oh, okay. You don't drink.
I don't. Right, I don't drink no more, Paul. I just don't drink that much less. But I don't drink no more. You know, so I've just told the truth.
I got you.
So, but anyway, Paul, look. I want to say this to Jeff. When he's putting down this show, one thing he needs to understand is we've got the best-looking women in the country down south. Nobody cares what that Yankee garbage breath has to say. So, you know, the show only sucks when he calls, Paul. But, hey, he's putting down – we got real men down here. We got the most beautiful women on the face of the earth.
Joe, thank you very much. Augie is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. So, you know – why you did? I was hoping you were going to ask Jeff Joe. I was hoping you were going to ask Joe what the special today was at the Piggly Wiggly, because isn't that is like his favorite place to eat?
Well, I think he eats lunch there. So I mean, basically it's a deli. You go in, say, you know, to have a turkey sandwich on rye, hold the mustard, extra pickles. That's all we're talking about.
And by the way, Red Bay's almost in Mississippi, I just found out.
Yes, absolutely. It's near Pickwick, which is a famous fishing lake in Mississippi. Not a fishing lake, it's huge. But that's where a lot of people go and keep their boats.
Okay, so Joe's almost a Mississippian. So I didn't know that. See, you learn something from the Feinbaum Show. It stokes your interest. You get online and you Google. But according to Jeff, the show's officially bottomed out, huh?
Yeah, well, he's carrying the torch for his, I don't know how to say this, but for his friend in West Alabama.
Well,
and right now they have two people who believe that. So I guess you keep telling the same lie over and over again. Maybe they'll get three people.
Wasn't that an official, Who said that? You tell a lie over and over, and people start to believe. Was it Goebbels or something like that?
Yeah, it was someone in Hitler's Germany. Yes.
Yeah, I think it was. So Paul, one thing Jeff was right about Tennessee baseball. I think they got what they deserved this year. I don't think anybody was a Tennessee baseball fan other than Tennessee baseball fans themselves. But Ole Miss is going to win it all, Paul. Bank it. They're playing the best ball of the year. They came on hot at the end. They're going to take it all. And as far as I think you're in violation of elder abuse today, Paul.
Really? What have I done?
Coach Donovan. I mean, you were really beating him over the head.
Well, first of all, I know how smart he is.
I thought you liked him.
I do. We're very close friends, but I don't want to hear stuff I already know. When I talk to a coach, don't you want to hear some analysis?
Hey, if I talk to Ed O, do you think I'd get a lot of analysis?
No, and by the way, he gave us a lot. He said a lot, but I think sometimes with guys like Donnan, it's what he doesn't say you have to zero in on. That's why, you know, I said, hey, by the way, didn't you mention Auburn. I thought that was pretty telling.
If you had to take a transoceanic flight and you had a choice of seatmates, Donovan or Griffith, who would it be?
Oh, Jim Donnan. And I, by the way, I was with a group in Mobile once. We had an event down there. And I think it was Mike Gottfried, Danny Sheridan, may have been Brando. I can't remember. I don't think it was Brando because the next – and Jim Donnan, it's about an hour trip. They were going over there to Biloxi to do what, do you think, they were going to do in Biloxi?
Fish, I'm sure.
Yeah, I went over just because I decided to lose a night's sleep hanging around a bunch of people like this. And Jim Donnan, for about an hour, was one of the funniest people I've ever been around. I mean, he cracked one-liner after one-liner. And that's how we got to know each other. I mean, I knew him when he was at Georgia. Really didn't care for him all that much. And we became friends that night. And then, of course, we got to Biloxi, and I sat around and walked around like, would you like a drink, sir? No, I'm just taking, I mean, a tourist at midnight in Biloxi, Mississippi at the Beau Rivage.
Hey, that must have been a hell of a night, Paul. I was going to ask if you won anything, but I don't think you put any.
I did not. I do not gamble, so I could not have. I just watched. I got a good walk. A good walk in.
You ever observe when you're walking around all the little scooters, those electronic scooters with all the old folks? You know,
yeah.
they don't put the coin in anymore. They put like $20 and they punch buttons. They don't even pull the lever for the thrill anymore. I guess that's a little bit of physical therapy that they're missing, right? Pulling the lever back, they're just punching the buttons.
Yeah, I don't use my scooter when it's nice outside. I try to get a little fresh air.
So, Paul, speaking of the best food towns in the SEC, and I know some of these towns bleed into each other, because when you talk about Baton Rouge, is it just Baton Rouge or is it south of Baton Rouge?
Yeah.
Does it include New Orleans? Depending upon how you define the area of the school, what do you think is the best college town for eating? And if you include New Orleans in that area, in that circle.
Well, it's hands down Louisiana. I mean, Louisiana is different than every other place.
Louisiana is a lot like Hawaii. We have our own culture. It's like a different part of the world.
Yeah, I mean, you can get really good meals elsewhere, but you're not going to get anything remotely. I mean, you know this because you live there, but you could literally go to 50 restaurants in the New Orleans area and not run out of good food.
Probably more than that.
Yeah.
A couple of people were writing in and tweeting today, two good restaurants that are up on the screen, Drago's and Mike Anderson's in Gonzales, Louisiana. And there's one of my favorites, a place called Snow's, S-N-O-S, great seafood platter. So if you're ever in Baton Rouge, Gonzales is a place to go to eat.
Yeah, I've eaten at Mike Anderson's a couple of times. Hey, thanks for the call, Augie. I appreciate it. We're up against the break. We still have time for you to get in.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back. And Squirrel, who always has a memorable season, is next up from Mississippi. Hello, Squirrel.
Thank you for taking my call. And I enjoy the subject of the college towns, maybe with the best restaurants or what have you. And while I won't say that Knoxville should be on that list of the top tier of the college towns for food, their food is kind of bland, to be honest with you. I do always go to Sam and Andy's every time I'm in Knoxville for a game. It's just like a tradition from childhood.
Same place?
No. Okay. They've moved it out in West County. Okay. But it's still basically the same menu.
To me, it wasn't so much the meal. For those who don't know, Sam and Andy's was a place that pretty much invented the steamed deli sandwich. And I, you know, it was somewhere between 11:30 and 1 o'clock in the morning haunt. Oh. And
when you come out of the last lap or Yosemite Sands or something like when they shut down, you headed to you went to Sam and Andy's. You sat there on the sidewalk and you ate.
I mean, it was always you ate on the sidewalk, and then you with me because I didn't have a car and I lived in the dorm a lot. It was a matter of trying to figure out if you could 1:30 in the morning remember where you're supposed to sleep that night.
Well, I had it worse. I had to make it 15 or 20 minutes over to Oak Ridge.
I would not. It was much easier trying to walk up the hill to get back to campus under the influence than to get in a car.
And in speaking of food, anyone wants the best pizza in the United States. And I've literally eaten it New York, Chicago, to Anchorage, Alaska. Big Ed's Pizza in Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Really?
No place has topped it yet. Yeah, remember me and Ryan McGee was talking about that one time. You acted all snooty, like, well, if it was that great, it seems like I would have heard about it.
Well, I don't know if that's being snooty. I think that's just being real.
It's still a happening place.
So, tell me, describe the type of pizza that they serve.
Oh, man, they throw it up. They throw it in the air. It's a unique dough. It's like a New York style.
Okay.
And they cut it with scissors. And the original one started in Huntsville, and it's still operating too.
I've never heard of it.
And then he moved to Oak Ridge and started it there. Oh, Big Ed was a unique guy. The University of Tennessee football team came over every spring. He opened it on Sunday just for them. And that was back in the Bill Battle days and the early major days. And those cats would show out that Sunday. They would put down some pizzas. And he'd open it up for the high school team one Sunday also. So, Big Ed's is, if you want some first-class
pizza.
I
didn't mean to be snooty about it. I just assumed that I spent four years of my life there eating pizza. I would have heard of it.
I know. Ask McGee. Ask your buddy McGee about
I ask Ryan McGee about something involving culinary?
All right, man. I'm just telling you. Next time you in Knoxville,
McGee's the kind of guy I'd be driving down the street and go into a gas station and think their fried chicken is the best he's ever had.
Some of the best food. I had the best shrimp po' boy on the planet last Saturday at a gas station.
Yeah, just had crawfish etouffee at the pilot station.
Thanks for taking my call. Okay, aloha.
I got the special. Trey is up next. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul, how are you? Hey, watch out now. Rouse's has some great homemade etouffee along with red beans and rice.
You got it. How are you doing?
No, Rouse's. Paul, I'm struggling. Matter of fact, me and my mom both are kind of struggling with our health. We got a big day tomorrow, so we could use some prayers.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Finding out what's wrong with it. Yeah, we'll be okay. I always say, too blessed to be stressed. But Paul, I got two questions for you about NIL, if I may, today.
Sure.
What I understand what these kids are supposed to be doing, like sponsors and selling autographs or whatever, that kind of stuff. But Paul, I don't ever see them anywhere. I don't ever see anybody doing anything on social media. Or I thought I was going to see Bryce Young signing autographs at the Chevrolet place, or Bo Nick handing out Milo tea somewhere. What are they actually doing?
I mean, some of them are, but a guy like Bryce Young is, I mean, I think he's done some signings, but he is really at an elevated.
I mean, but do they advertise him? Or,
I don't know. He's at such an elevated status, though, that he's not going to be doing. Yeah, I mean, initially that was what we thought it would be. What you're seeing a lot are these message board companies that cater to particular teams. They are paying players to do interviews with them, which I snicker at a little bit. I'm not opposed to the players getting the money. I find it interesting that that's where that's what keeps some of these websites in business. But
yeah, I thought they was going to be doing like podcast and things
some of them
that
are.
Sort.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bryce Young did a podcast, a weekly hit last year with somebody. I'm pretty sure he did.
Well, my second question is this. I think one of the biggest problems is, and I think it's part of what's wrong with our country at times too, Paul, is we're paying people before they perform. And athletes are about the only ones that get paid that kind of money before they perform.
That's part of that's the whole idea, though. You can't wait till their career is over. You're trying to take advantage of them right now.
I wasn't going to say that. I mean, why couldn't they do like they do NFL players, guarantee them some money, but whatever, you know, if they did certain stuff during the season, then you get more money or something like that. I just think we're setting a bad precedent. And I know it goes on when we're paying somebody
but
to do something.
I can tell you right now, Trey, and I've been involved in, frankly, a lot of deals that you make, you're not paid at all, but I mean you make an agreement and then you deliver it at various intervals. But anyway, hey, you take care of yourself tomorrow. I'll be thinking of you and hoping and praying for the very best. Elliot is up next in Ohio. Hello, Elliot.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I agree with you. It's a different world. This is like the NFL player that hangs out for 10 years riding the bench to get retirement. It's a different world. The college players are getting paid to play and paid to be on the team, which is exactly why Urban Meyer is never going to be a college football coach again. Because it's
hard
NFL.
To believe, yeah. I can't believe
you will. It's not college football anymore. It's the NFL, which is why Urban has sunk himself. I think he's done, put a stick in him. I don't think he's ever coming back.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I think Urban wants to prove that coaches hate to end in a complete and total disaster, and that's what he was. That's what happened to him in Jacksonville. But I don't know. I mean, I know what Matt said, but it's hard for me to believe that even that any college president could look at himself or herself and say, "I'm sitting next to Urban Meyer at a press conference."
I can't imagine that the team's going to rally around his past, and they're going to do the dances in the end zone and in the locker room. It's not going to be good. It's just, yeah, any college administrator would be making a huge mistake to bring Urban back.
Elliot, thank you. And as soon as I say that, I think of all the presidents who have sat next to creeps like Bobby Petrino, Art Briles, and others. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.